Good morning. Welcome to Grace and Truth International Fellowship. Pastor Raymond, Sunday morning, beautiful October day. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. So we're anxious to hear, I am too, anxious to hear what God is going to say, wants to say to us today, because we do live by those words. And those words are quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. They divide asunder soul and spirit, bones and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. They dig deep. But if it gets something out, it's for our good. It's for our good. So let's go to God now. Father, we just thank you again. Praise you, Lord, for this day that you have made. And thank you that we can call you Father. Abba, Father. Our Father who is in heaven. Holy, holy is your name, worthy to be praised, creator of heaven and earth, almighty God, one and only God. Thank you for calling us out of the darkness into your marvelous light. And for those, Lord, who would be listening or that don't know you, or even those who are running from you, as some of us have during our lives, we pray that you'd bring them back, open their understanding. We sang a song today, you know, when we were sinners, Christ died for us. How much more now? You live for us and want us to live because of what you've done for us. Open our understanding to understand your words today, Father. By the power of your Holy Spirit, as you promised in the new covenant to write these things on our heart and put them in our mind, so that we become what we hear. They are seeds, your seeds. And we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Okay, the title of this sermon today is, We Have This Treasure in Earthen Vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm going to start with Psalms 143, verse 6. And it gives us just how people reacted to God in a good way. And gives us an example. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. We just sang it. Pour out your spirit on me. Jesus said, all ye that thirst, come and drink, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. So God wants to fill us with his Spirit and keep us filled. It's the enemy wants to keep us out of being, even receiving the Spirit. And then if we do receive the Spirit as a gift of the Spirit, being what we call baptized in the Spirit. There's a difference between being saved and being, you know, born again of the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit. There's two different things. Acts chapter 2. So anyway, let's get back to this. Okay, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. And again, the Word of God says, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. He'll be filled. So we have not because we don't ask. And we don't ask because we're not hungry. If you're hungry, you'll ask. Can I please have a piece of that cake? Or this, that, or the other thing. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down to the pit. So even those that know you, sometimes we can feel this way. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like those that go down to the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And we could all pray this prayer, because we don't know a lot of things. We don't know what to do with this and what to do with that. We could do this, you could do that. We don't know the way in which we should go. But again, that's another thing the Spirit does. It's been given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen? And as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. So we can do that. We can ask God, if any man lack wisdom in James, but if any man lack anything, go to your Father. Go to your Father in heaven and ask. Well, I shouldn't be this way. I mean, I should know what to do, but I don't. Or I don't have the strength to do this, but I don't know where I'm going to get the strength. Spinach won't help. Call upon the Lord, right? All they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered, set free, made whole. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. You have an enemy. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I flee unto thee to hide me. Jesus wanted to bring the Israelites under his wings like a hen gathered her chicks, but they wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Wow, I could use that. Teach me to do thy will. It's one thing to know what to do, but it's another thing to do it, right? Yeah. So teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. And not only is he our God, but he is our Father who is in heaven. Amen. Of course, with that goes Hebrews, whom the Father loves, he chastens because he loves you, not because he hates you, not because he's trying to kill you, but he's trying to get you straight so he can bless you and you can fulfill the call and purpose that God has for your life, which is exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. Teach me to do thy will, thou art my God, thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And in the world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. There's going to be trouble coming. Not all the time, but it comes. It comes. But he also said it, we can call upon him in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and then you will glorify my name. Amen? So again, what the enemy means for evil, what he's trying to get at us, God will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to stand. But with a temptation, he'll provide a way of escape. So God's for you, and he's not against you. But he allows Satan to do certain things to a point. But God's already prepared you to be victorious. Thanks be to God who always, always causes us to triumph through Jesus Christ. Through the Spirit, not through your efforts, not through your strength, but through his strength. I can, we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Okay. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. Amen? Amen? So he quits this thing, the end of the chapter anyway, and he says, I am thy servant. And we're servants of God too, but we're more than that. We're children of God. We're children of God. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse 6. And above this, it talks about those who can't receive because Satan has blinded their eyes. Okay, now here we are. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, when the Bible uses face, I read this somewhere, and I don't know where, I forget where I read it, but it makes spiritual sense. When it says, in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, if you see somebody's face, you're in his or her presence. I mean, they didn't send their face. If you're in with a person, you see their face, you're in their presence. And this is what we need, the presence of God. Amen? And God, again, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So He wants us to seek His presence. And God wants to dwell with you and in you. Christ in you, living in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. So, okay. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, and the treasure is not you. Well, it is to God, but the treasure is Christ in you. Christ in you. That it's a treasure. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's our flesh, which Paul said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth how many good things?
None.
Okay. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, the greatness of the power, the glory of this power may be of God and not of us. He's there. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. But it's not us. It's Him in us. We get out of Him. We get back in the flesh. That's who you are. And you got no power. Okay? We are troubled on every side. What's troubled? The flesh is troubled. But we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So he's having problems here. I mean, there's these situations in his life. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Because God said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Hebrews 13. Remember, we looked at that last week. Or not last week, but anyway, at Wednesday night, Hebrews 13. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Because He said, we can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear. And you got to tell yourself that. That's your fleshly self. Hey, I will not fear. I will not fear what man can do with me. I will not fear I won't have enough. I will not fear this thing. I will not fear that thing. Whatever the enemy brings up. Greater is He that is in you. And He said, because He said, I will not leave you or forsake you, then we can boldly say, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Again, okay? But see, we're saying it. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You're going to have situations. You're going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tried. But God's telling us how to answer to this thing, how to react to this thing. Okay. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Oh, man. But it's the dying of the Lord Jesus. What's dying is your flesh. If by the Spirit, Romans 8, if by the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the flesh, which this is exactly what the Spirit of God wants to do, is to put to death your old nature, because your old nature is going to keep you from being everything that God's called and chosen you to be. Amen? It's nothing wrong with God's power. It's just the way God set it up that I have to. When He gives me the ability, I got to do it. I got to say it. I got to speak to it. I got to resist it steadfast in the faith. And faith comes by what He has said. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, God said that. God said that. If you leave here with anything but that, that's God said He will not leave you or forsake you. Therefore, you can boldly say, I will not fear. It doesn't matter what the fear is, because God has not given you or me a spirit of fear, but Satan does, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. You and I, 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, we are being changed into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. God's doing it for, allowing it for a purpose. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That, now listen to that. Look what it's saying here. That the life also of Jesus, that new life, that which is born of God does not sin. It cannot sin because his seed remains in him. Amen. They that believe in me shall never die. But the flesh is going to die. Someday the flesh is going to die. And they're going to bury bones. But you ain't going to be there. You're going to be up in heaven, amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, amen? Amen. So, but we got to put to death. We got to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. But again, it's all done through the power of God's Holy Spirit. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Because why? Because when Jesus is manifested in Paul, it's not just manifested to for Paul's sake, like there's a halo around Paul's head, but in the spirit realm, the glory of God is on him, and he's affecting the people that listen to his word, because it isn't his word, it's what God's saying through Paul. Amen? And so when you and I, and the more we submit ourselves to God, the more we are filled with the Spirit, the more others around us are going to be affected, the same way they were affected with Jesus. They'll either run from you or to you, but they're really not running to us, they're running to him. Amen? I remember seeing this on the internet. This guy was talking about, he was in Iraq, doesn't matter where he was at. Anyway, you know, he was in battle. So bullets don't matter, you know. So it's after a long day of fighting, you know, they come back, and he says, I was surprised because the other guys came up to me and they said, why are you different? Why aren't you afraid? Why are you know, and he said, he isn't no brave guy, you know, like they get in the movies or something. Like, but he said, it's God. And he had a chance to witness to them. But they noticed that. Amen? What did they notice? That God was on him, that in him. And so he didn't have the fear that they had. And you and I don't want to go into that. I don't want to do that. Yeah, but when the time comes that you have to face that, he that said, I will never leave you, is going to be with you, and he is the one that's going to keep you from falling. So even in the time of trouble, you'll be there. He'll be there. Amen? So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, or said it. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. So, in other words, Paul isn't going to be kicked out when these people get in. No, he says, God's going to raise me up too. Even though I'm going through this trial, even though I'm persecuted, all the things that he said he went through, God was there and God kept him. 1 Peter 1. Okay, so 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and sprinkled of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, it says here, elect, that's you, that's me, that's us. We've been called, we've been chosen. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. And I'm going to keep my finger there and go to 2 Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. Now these are people that are not going to receive Christ. They're not going to receive the word of God. God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I just want to explain something that came out to me that when I was going through this. There's two different ways that sanctification were translated from two different words. And the first one is to be set apart by God's for God's purpose. And that's positional. We are called, we've been chosen. That's for a particular, we're called to be saints, okay? We're sanctified. The second one is practical. It's progressive. In other words, the first one is you're set here, but the second one is it's progressive, and it means growing in righteous living. This is dependent on the person relying on the Holy Spirit. So again, this is where 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18 again, we all with open face beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into his image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being sanctified, being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is God working in us and changing us. It's a progressive thing, okay? So we are sanctification. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So these other people couldn't believe. They wouldn't believe. And so God sent them a strong delusion. But he's not sending you a delusion. He's for you, and he's not against you. And the truth, the Spirit wants to lead you and guide us into all truth. And when we know the truth, it makes us free. Free from what? Our old nature. It's sanctifying us. Whereunto we called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory. Oh, one other thing before I leave here. And we're not going to turn here, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, now the God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's progressively changing us into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? Positionally, you are already saved. You are already a child of God, but you're not shining like that. We've not arrived yet. Paul said, I've not apprehended all that I've been apprehended for, but I press towards the mark. Okay? So we are being changed, and we have to see this because this is very important. We walk by faith and not by sight. So Satan is going to point out to you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He uses his word too. As God uses the word, he has a word too. And he comes to condemn you. And if he gets you under condemnation, you can't be what God wants you to be because you're short-circuited. The power is short-circuited and the fuse blows. And you can't do what God wants you to do and be what God wants you to be because Satan has lied to you. And you're believing a lie. Okay? The truth is, you aren't all that you should be. And the truth is, righteousness is being imputed to you now. We have fellowship with the Father, you know. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, he's taking care of what we don't know yet. He's taking care of it yet. Righteousness is imputed to us. But the blood of Jesus is taking care of the things we don't know about yet. But there's things that we have to be corrected, but we're doing it his way. Okay, now we want to go back to this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Wherefore he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The glory, not just knowing about, but the glory. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle, Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation, which means comfort. He has given you, this is what he's given us, not a spirit of fear, but of comfort, of consolation, and good hope through grace, unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. Don't think you deserve it. It's a gift. Comfort your hearts. God, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In every good word and work. That's impossible for any man or woman to do it without God. But it's possible with God. That's a miraculous life. That's beyond what we can do in ourselves. But that's the way God made it up. Because without him, we can do nothing. But again, we can do all things through Christ who would strengthen us. But we got to see this. In one sense, we are right with God. You know, we're the children of God. God's our Father. We can call unto him. We can cry unto him. We can confess to him our faults, and he'll forgive us right away, and then he'll go about cleansing us from it. He is our source. He is all that we need. He is our strength. He is able to keep me from falling. He's able to present me faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. There's nothing lacking here that I can't receive from God. God wants to give it to me. But on the other side, I've got to see that I've still not, in my flesh, that's not all been dealt with yet. It's like the children of Israel going into the promised land. They took Jericho, and that was a big walled city. That was a big problem. But it wasn't the whole country. It wasn't all the promised land. Amen? It was just a part. And then they go to, you know, war against this tiny little village, and they get defeated because they didn't think they needed to seek after God. Should we go up? How should we go up? And then they would have found out that somebody messed up, but instead of 30-some people died, who didn't have to die, but they died because they didn't ask God. After he gave them that great victory, they took it in their flesh, that, well, we can do this. You don't need to send them. But nobody picked up the fact, hey, could we ask God what we should, Joshua. Anyway. Let's get back to this. Okay. All right, back to 1 Peter 1. So we are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, going back to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. So sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away, it's reserved in heaven for you. In other words, it can't be changed. Long as I keep believing in him. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice. Amen? Yeah. So we're to greatly rejoice that because our name is written in heaven. Amen? Because our name is written in heaven. And that goes, if it isn't written in heaven, you'd have no reason to rejoice. Get right with God, or you're going to go to hell. Okay, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you and I are in heaviness through manifold many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul was going through in Corinthians, right? When he wrote that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He was under persecution, he had fears and doubts, and all this stuff was coming on him. And though he perished, yet he was being renewed day by day. God was keeping him day by day. And so we have those times when we go through things like that. But God will never leave us or forsake us. But he promises us the victory. Now I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, who by him, in other words, our faith is coming from God. Everything we got that we need, he supplies. Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Amen? Amen. Being confident of this very thing. He that begun a good work in you, he said he's going to finish it. Amen? And so you and I are supposed to believe it. That's what God requires for us to believe what he said to us. But it does mean also that you're probably going to be tried in that very area. And then your carnal mind is going to think, well, I believe that. Why am I having this problem? It must not be true. No, that's a lie. That's from Satan. It's you're being checked. You're being you're being tried. Your faith is being tried. And God knows your heart. I don't know it. You don't know it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He knows it. And he knows what's holding you up and what's holding me up from accomplishing everything God has called and chosen you to do and to be. Now remember, he's called us to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think or even imagine. But it's supposed to be according to his power that's working in us. Amen? Amen? So if it isn't being manifested, well, God not coming through. No, it isn't God's fault, is it? Is it? No, it's me. It's you. It's us. But he just wants us to fess up and then, you know, he'll take care of it. He can take care of it. Well, no, he wants me to believe. He wants, well, yeah, but he knows you can't do it without him. You know, Paul, I was okay once, but then the word, you know, the law came and I was convicted. And then he says, I find out the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing them, you know, and so who's going to help me? Who's going to help me? Who's going to save me from this body of death? Who's going to save me from my old nature? He that started a good work in you, he wants to finish it. Amen? And he's going to do that by filling you with the power of his Holy Spirit, who is greater than he that is in the world, which is your flesh. Is from the, your flesh was conceived in the world. It's natural. It's not supernatural. It's not spiritual. It's evil. Amen? In me, Paul said, in me, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Again, that which is born of God does not sin. It cannot sin. And I cannot say that. I don't sin. But God wants to take care of it. Again, he wants to show himself strong. Amen? He led them to Jericho, the hardest city maybe that had to deal with in the whole. He leads them to there. And the people, their fathers, you know, their ancestors, they wouldn't go in, you know, it wasn't Jericho. They wouldn't go in because they were fearful. And Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. We don't want to turn back. We're not of them that draw back. Amen? We're going to believe. We're going to see the glory of God manifested. Because God wants to, that's the will of God, that his glory would be manifested, amen, to those out there. Not dealing with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, or by the Spirit. It's done through this power of the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. So when he says, I mean, born again, I've been conceived just like Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. So were you conceived by the Spirit of God. So Jesus can call us brothers, sisters, right? We're part. Now we are the sons of God, the children of God. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth, by the word of God. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which you, the gospel was preached unto you and declared unto you. Chapter 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile. Now, look, this is what really got me this past week, was when I started to read this, and again, I've read it before, but it really hit me. Why in the world does he has to tell this to these people whom God has redeemed? They are redeemed. They're saved people. They're in the church. Amen? And he's warning them now. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, well, you can't lay aside something you don't have. Right? Right? So there must have been some malice there. All guile, hypocrisies, envies, all evil speaking. The more we know up here, in the ding-a-ling up here, the harder it is for us to see what's wrong with us. In a sense, we become callous to what, but the Holy Spirit, that's what he comes. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He'll convict anybody that's sinning. Amen? And it's good for me. It's good for you. Whom the Lord loves, he will chasten. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? Because the Spirit of God takes the word and it reveals to us what's wrong with us, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto living stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house. Now, you're not going to be. Someday, you're not going to be. You are. We are. We are living stones. We are built, and we are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by or through Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it was contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient. So again, we're back to Thessalonians, where these people didn't receive the word of God, and so he sent them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie, because that's what was appointed them. But you have not been appointed that. You've been appointed to be called the sons of God. Amen? God chose you. You didn't choose God, he chose you. And you've got to believe that. Because even when God shows us where we're wrong, we got to believe, there's things wrong with us, but that's why God's called, he's long-suffering, that's why he's merciful, and he's being gracious to us. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. They're stumbling at the word, they can't do it. Also, whereunto also they were appointed. Again, here's these people were appointed to that. The same thing happened to those in Thessalonians. But we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? Amen? Now, we're not going around telling people how great we are. We're not going around trying to shove it down somebody's throat. What we are doing is what God is doing to us. It can't be hid. Didn't it say in his word, you don't light a candle and put it under... Yeah, you don't hide it. You put it out there. Well, God isn't going to light your light and then put you somewhere where nobody sees it. He's going to light your light so his name can be praised out there where you work, where you live, where you shop, wherever you go. Amen? He wants to show himself through you. We are his witnesses that he is God, the living God. Amen? There's a lot of false gods out there, amen? But they need to see God manifested in us. And that's why we're here, okay? But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which we in time past were not a people. We were not a people, but are now. Now we are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. And brother and sister, if you were doing everything right, you wouldn't need mercy. Amen? But you need mercy. Because it's in a process of being sanctified by his Spirit, not by your works, by his Spirit. Amen? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Again, being God's workmanship, God's handiwork, God showing forth what he can do with nothing and make something out of it. Amen? Amen? That's what he wants to do. Now, that's who we are, and we got to hold fast to that. We got to confess that, because Satan, who goes about as a roaring lion, what he's going to use is the fact that you're not doing everything perfectly right. And he will point out to you some things that aren't. He'll take a scripture and make something out of it and cause you to be condemned. You know, you think you've done something wrong, and so you're under condemnation. You're condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, again, Satan is not going to show us something that's real, that's really sin, because then we'll want to deal with it. But he's going to take something, and it's something that God, you know, he just wants to bring us under condemnation. Because when you're condemned, the end of that is there's no hope. There's no hope. When you're condemned, it's like standing before the judge is, okay, you're guilty. Take him out and shoot him. You're condemned to death. The wages of sin is death. But my sin's been washed away. My sins have been washed away. So that I don't know about, that would have to know, have any idea about, it's already under the blood. God's already taken care of it. Till he reveals it to me, it's okay. He's got it covered. My righteousness, your righteousness is in. Imputed to us. It's imputed to you. It's imputed to you. For by the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So nobody could keep it. Okay? So, now, he's talking to the same people he just said, you are, and this is what you're supposed to confess. You know, that we are a peculiar people, royal priesthood, holy nation. Okay. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He's talking to the same people because there's things in us that need to be put to death. But in God's time, he's going to get to it. God's going to get to it, but you can't take it all at one time because the just shall live by faith. Amen? So we gotta believe this, that who we are in Christ. That's who we are. And we got to believe if there is something there we don't know about, God's taking care of that through the blood of Jesus. But when God puts his finger on it, then we confess it. And then God says he'll forgive you. And then he says he'll cleanse you from it. Amen? Amen? Okay. Having their conversation among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king or supreme or under governors as unto them. Okay, so again, there's other places that have other lit. And so this is what God has really hammered into me or opened up my understanding to see this, that on one hand, I got to believe God. I am justified by faith. I got to believe his blood has taken away my sins. I got to believe this. Now, when he reveals something to me, there might be envy, there might be jealousy, there might be this, there might be... We're to take every thought into captivity, amen? We got to be sober, we got to be vigilant, because now the sower went forth to sow, the good sower, and he's sowing seed. That's what Jesus used. But Satan goes around sowing seeds too. And if we receive his seed, it's going to get in there, and it's going to fester, and it's going to cause problems. And you'll get these thoughts. That's why we got to take that thought right away. As soon as we catch ourselves thinking a certain thing, no, I'm not thinking that. Get out of here. I'm not receiving it. That's not my thought. That's your thought. That's like somebody said, well, it was Jeff, I think it was said to me one time. It's amazing what you don't know. Somebody said, we're just in this conversation, and he just said, well, everything you think about, it's not from God. And that's like, that really hit me. And, it, you know, it just, you, so you don't, because I believe it was God speaking through him to me. I was doing that. I was thinking, that's me, you know, that I was taking it. I was rebuking it, but it was like, I'm having these thoughts because that's what I am. No. I'm taking that thought. It's not every thought comes from me. It's him speaking. It's Satan speaking. I got to take that thought and throw it out. Amen. I'm not receiving it. It's not from God. I'm not receiving it. No such number, no such zone. Some guy named Elvis sang that, you know. He's not receiving the package. I'm not receiving the package. Amen. Don't receive the package. You are. We are these things. And because we're believing it before we see it, that's called faith. Amen? And guess what that faith does? It pleases God. Amen? It pleases God. Yeah, but I know I'm not perfect yet. So, yeah, but that's, see, that's this thing that Satan's going to say. Well, you're not perfect yet, so you can't expect God to use you in this way or that way or this way. Don't limit God by Satan's thoughts. If God wants to use you, all he has to do is tell, all you got to do is hear him say, lay hands on that person and I will heal them. Not you will heal them. Do you get it? See, but Satan wants you to think, well, I got to be strong enough to do that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And what did Jesus say? I see my Father work and I work. Amen? Did Peter say, why do you look on us as though by our power or our holiness we made this man to walk? It's the name of Jesus through faith in that name. May the faith which is by him given in perfect peace, you know, perfect
soundness
in the presence of you all. It's God. It's Jesus in me. That's what Peter was saying. He passed that guy every day when he went to the temple. And he never prayed for him before. Didn't give him a tract. Didn't do anything. But this time, and besides that, I've lived in these countries. Thailand, Cambodia, and other countries. Not so much Japan. I didn't see that in Japan. But lines. Wherever there's one beggar, there's more than one beggar. Because they're going to go where people go. Or going back and forth, you know, they get a handout. Well, he didn't pray for him and then pray for this one and then pray for that one and pray for that one and pray for that. He just prayed for that one. And that guy got up and went walking and leaping and praising God right into the temple. And there was a revival. Amen? Amen? Peter didn't, he didn't go where with that plan. God, he was connected. He was hearing God. And that's what God wants today, if I will hear his voice. Father, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord. You're working in us. You're getting us there. You're line upon line, precept upon precept. You're building something here. You're building confidence. You're building a foundation where, God, we can stand and know what is you, what isn't you, and take authority over the things that are not you, because that's why we're here, to bring your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. And I'm on this earth, and my neighbor's in the earth, and this person over here is in here. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for these people. But I'm praying to a God who's Almighty God.
And Lord, we're looking unto you, trusting in you, lifting up our hands to you, knowing that without you we can do nothing. But with you, and being strengthened by your Son Jesus, we can do all things through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you, who strengthens us. You strengthen us. You're here to strengthen us and to lead us, to guide us by your Spirit, so that we would fulfill your will and your purpose for our lives, that your name would be magnified and glorified around us. And, Lord, that those that are needy around us, that those needs would be met, not according to our power, but according to your power and according to the calling that you have in each of our lives. You've given us a great and mighty promises that by these we might be partakers of your divine nature. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.